This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You'll find the American Enterprise Institute right at the top of the list of influential conservative think tanks, and therefore, almost by definition, you will find one Arthur Brooks, the president of AEI, at the top of the list of conservative political thinkers. To that end, Brooks has a new book out. It's called The Conservative Heart, in which he shares his thoughts about how conservatives can break away from the usual stereotypes that a whole lot of people have about conservatives. Mr. Brooks, good to have you on.
Nice to be with you, Kai.
I guess the first thing I need you to do for me is tell me how the conservative heart, the theme and also the title of this book, is different than compassionate conservatism, which is the last thing most of us remember.
Yeah, well, compassionate conservatism was a salient theme in the Bush administration. And what it assumed was that conservatism is not inherently compassionate. And that's something that I reject. Now, I know that there are a lot of conservatives who are not very compassionate, just that there are a lot of liberals who are not very compassionate.
Okay, so how come, and you admit this freely throughout your book, how come conservatives get such a bad rap on the compassion thing?
Well, the biggest reason is because of the way conservatives talk. I've been in the public policy business for a really long time, and I've talked to a lot of political conservatives, and their opening bid tends to be, hey, you know, conservative politics, it might not be so great for the poor, but it makes the whole country richer, and that could lift everybody up, as if this were really about the money. And it isn't about the money. It's about dignity. It's about freedom. It's about work and all the things that we really care about. If we can actually have a competition between liberals and conservatives to talk about how we can serve the least of these, our brothers and sisters, just a little bit better, I think that would be an inherently compassionate thing to do. It'd be a good competition.
The last chapter of this book is basically a training session. It's pulled from training sessions you do with members of Congress, right?
Yeah.
Where you take them and you say, listen, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. It does sort of seem like conservatives are their own worst enemy.
Well, you know, people in public life have tended recently to be their own worst enemies. We're going into a presidential election. I guess that's not news to you, Kai, but it's bad news to a lot of Americans. And the biggest reason is because it looks like it could be another election that's about competing pessimisms. Mm. You know, it sounds like both parties are trying to convince their base that if they vote for the other side, it'll be the zombie apocalypse. It's horrible.
Since you brought up the election, I'm going to throw four words at you technically. Tea Party, Donald Trump. What do you do with those if you're a conservative? Seriously, trying to establish compassion as a calling card.
Well, the Tea Party is in the process of trying to transition, at least leaders of the Tea Party, from a protest movement to a social movement. And that's going to require not just fighting against things, but fighting for people. Protest movements always fight against things, and they can get a lot of energy and be very successful doing that. But then fighting for people is what social movements do, and that's a pretty important transition. And the Tea Party is in that transition. Whether or not they'll be successful is another matter. Donald Trump is a phenomenon of an election campaign that has a whole lot of media, people that want to build up what's effectively a political sideshow into something else. There's nothing that I regret more than somebody calling himself a Republican who is effectively anti-immigrant. I think it's destructive.
Let's say you get to run, I won't say the Republican Party, I'll say the conservative party in this country for the next 10 or 15 years. What does it look like by the time you're done with it?
Believe it or not, I'm not even a registered Republican. And part of the reason is because
I don't say that out loud, man. People aren't listening. You might get into trouble.
Well, I run a nonpartisan organization and I have politically conservative views.
Technically nonpartisan, right? I mean, come on.
No, I mean, it really is. We have Democrats and Republicans here, and especially among young people, that's certainly true.
All right.
You know, what would a conservative party look like? It would be a party that's animated fundamentally by optimism. The truth of the matter is that a pessimistic view about the way the country is going doesn't match reality. I know certain things are wrong, but child mortality is down, literacy is up, public health is better, people are living longer. This is a great country. It's a beacon of hope for the world. So what I want conservatives and liberals too, by the way, is to be more optimistic and compete with each other on the basis of optimism. So if I were running one party or the other, that's the direction I'd go.
It's a book called The Conservative Heart by Arthur Brooks. He is the president of the American Enterprise Institute. Mr. Brooks, thanks very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Kai. It's great being with you.